Genesis, and we've been looking at a series called Lessons on Listening. And last week we started with Abraham Part 1. And so this week, suspense, Abraham Part 2. Not surprisingly. And last time we left Abraham bartering with God over the situation in Sodom and Gomorrah. And we had finished that record, and we're going to go now to Genesis chapter 21. And so go to Genesis 21. But before we do, I'm just going to briefly review the lessons that we learned from the first part of Abraham. And again, these aren't all the lessons that are there, just some of the ones that we've taken to note. One was that we are not to doubt God's information in any way whatsoever. If you remember, Abraham was in a later stage in life when God called him from Ur, and he made his way across from the Euphrates up towards north and back down over a period of several years. And you know, we noticed that, you know, not doubt the information that God gives. Stay put on what God tells you. We saw that in his life, even though God had made the promise, it took a while for those promises, and some of them even did not come to pass in his lifetime. They'll come to pass later in life. Later, we saw that he believed what God tells him. Doesn't question it. He never questions. I can't think of a record where Abraham questioned what God told him. You know, at a later stage again in life, when God gave the covenant of circumcision, you know, no question. Yeah, of course, there's no one there that didn't question it. He didn't question it ever. When God told him anything, there's no record of him saying, well, I'm not sure about that God, or what. He always just did it. And we saw that you can find joy and peace in believing God. We saw the case of, you know, Sarah laughing with unbelief and Abraham laughing with great believing. The two opposite sides of believing. And then again, the ability to receive startling information, you know, without freaking out, without questioning. And the confidence before God with reverence. That's the example we saw when he was talking to God about Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah. Great confidence, but great reverence. Absolute great reverence. And then we'll pick up the record now in Genesis 21. And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age. And this is, you know, decades after the promise. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children? Suck, for I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And now, if you'll remember that before this, Hagar had a baby with Abraham, and his name was Ishmael. And now Ishmael is still there, obviously. And if you look at the next verse, and Sarah saw, verse 9, the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. Now that's interesting, isn't it? We may read the records in Galatians and other places that talk about the bondwoman and her son and all that. I recognize, well, God told Abraham to get rid of her, and he did what he did. How hard was it for Abraham to get rid of his son? We might say, well, we know, you know, he was a child of the flesh. Yeah, I understand all that. But he was his son. And Abraham had brought him up, taught him, and now God says, you need to get rid of him. And Hagar. That's not easy to do, right? Verse 12, and God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman, and all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called, and also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and took bread and a bottle of water, and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and she and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. Not easy to do, but what did he do? God said, you got it. Did it anyway. Genesis 22. Let's jump ahead. Talking about hard to receive information and to carry it out. Genesis 22. Verse 1. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt or prove Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham thought about it for several days and questioned. No, that's not what it says. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. He said, every time you see God telling Abraham something, he does it. He just does it. He doesn't question. He just does it. It's a great example. You know, when we read God's word, when we have the scriptures given to us, and you know, we have so much. We read God's word. We ought to just do it. We shouldn't question it. That's a good lesson, isn't it? For Abraham, sure shows us that. And you know, my only son. Well, you got rid of Ishmael, but Isaac. Now, what do you mean? You promised. He didn't. There's none of that. Early, and it actually says it early in the morning. Right? And God has a reason for saying these things. And early in the morning, here we go. Okay, and saddled his ass, verse 3, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. And the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. I forgot to do this. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. You know, the other thing that you know we kind of notice in Abraham's life as we look at these records is that throughout his life, from the first time God called him, he was always receptive to God's voice. He was always ready to hear his voice. It wasn't, you know, you don't see cases where, you know, wandering away from, none of that. He's always receptive to listen to God. And here again, later in his life, he's very receptive to what God tells him to do. Okay, verse 7. Now Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, again, a little nervous, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place where God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. There is no hesitation here that we can read about. I cannot imagine how difficult this would be to do. I mean, it's hard to put yourself in that situation, isn't it? Trusting God is no laughing matter. It's no, you know, trivial matter. It's a serious matter. And God said, this is what I want you to do. And he was ready to do it. And it's very interesting. Verse 11, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. The same thing he had said before. Now, here's a great, great lesson here. I mean, you don't allow emotion to cloud your ability to hear from God. Can you imagine if he had done that in this situation? Isaac would be dead. Yet God said, no, hold, wait. And Abraham, here am I, right away. Totally, totally receptive, even to the point, he could have been uncertain. He could have been sad. He could have been fearful. certainly emotions that would come to mind when you're about to kill your son, your only son that God had promised to you. Yet he didn't. And sure enough, the angel speaks to him, and God, Abraham, right on the ball, yes, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thine son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thee, thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies, and thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Genesis 24. Verse 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in years, age. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things, and near the end of his life. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over the land, over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country, and go to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. Now here is very, very old, near the end of his life, yet his ability to receive from God or to hear from God has not diminished in the least. Not in the least, but good lesson. You know, age has not any, has nothing to do with your ability to hear or not hear from God. You could look at verse 7. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and the land of my kindred, and which sware unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee. God told him, I'm going to send an angel with you. Look at his ability. His ability to hear from God, angel, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. You know, Abraham, as I mentioned before, is a very, very significant figure in the scriptures. Because he's a man that was called, you know, before Israel ever existed. There's no Israel. Abraham lived, you know, near the Persian Gulf there, and he was called one of the first men maybe in the Bible that's, you know, has such a high calling is Abraham. That period of time on, you constantly see, you know, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And so Israel didn't exist until Jacob. And here's Abraham. And it says all the nations will be blessed in him before Israel even existed. So I thought we'd just look at a few verses now just to look at the significance of Abraham through the scriptures, just briefly touch on a few verses. We won't go there, but in 2 Chronicles 27 and Isaiah 41:8, God refers to Abraham as his friend, the friend of God. Abraham as God's friend. That a nice. Wouldn't you want to be called God's friend? God's son's pretty good too. But you know, it's very interesting. Look at Matthew chapter Matthew 22. There's a lot about Abraham in the scriptures, so I just picked a few verses that show us the, you know, the relevance of Abraham to much of God's plan, if you will. Matthew 22. In verse 31, remember this record about verse 31, but touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Talking about the resurrection. Someday Abraham will be resurrected. Abraham was saved by what he believed. He received salvation by what he had believed. In Luke chapter 1, let's just look at a few verses here. When John the Baptist was born, in Luke chapter 1, we could read from, let's just read near the end, verse 71, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham. You know, Abraham is referred to as their father. This is before Israel. Nothing to do with the Israelite children of Israel. It's Abraham as a man referred to their father. Look at Luke chapter 13. Well, we're in Luke here. Luke 13. Now, sometimes we think that, you know, God puts a lot of preference or consideration on the children of Israel, which he does, but there's Abraham is not to be forgotten. In verse 16 of chapter 13, and ought not this woman, she had a physical need, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, which Satan had bound. Here Jesus Christ refers to this woman who had need as a daughter of Abraham. Isn't that interesting? In Luke chapter 19. Luke 19, verse 9. And Jesus is talking about when Jesus went to Zacchaeus' house. And Jesus said unto him, talking to Zacchaeus, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. It was constantly, he's daughter of Abraham, son of Abraham, promises made to Abraham, our father Abraham. He definitely is a very, very significant figure. In John chapter 8. John chapter 8, when Jesus Christ has been confronted by, well, essentially men who are born of the devil. In chapter 8, verse 39, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. See, everybody claimed Abraham as being their father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard from of God. This did not Abraham. Abraham too had heard the truth from God. See, he was able to hear. And Abraham would never do this. See, even Jesus Christ holds him up as an example of a man who would walk with God. Look at verse 51 of the same chapter. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast the devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. See, Abraham received information from God concerning the coming of the Messiah, and he believed it. God had told him about the coming of a Messiah someday. He said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. He really did receive information from God, didn't he? He knew where things were going. Okay, let's go to Acts chapter 3. The lesson there, a real strong lesson there in listening to God is that receiving information about the Messiah, about the Christ, can reshape your entire life. And that's what it did for Abraham. When he heard about the Messiah, changed his entire life. We'll see that in Hebrews when we close here shortly. But how about today? When we share the information about Jesus Christ to somebody else, them receiving that information will reshape their entire life. It's nothing. It's not even close. People sometimes treat the things of God as a hobby. You know, something we do on a Sunday or something I do. Whereas, you know, God's word is very clear. You know, it's who you are. When you receive Christ, you have changed lordship. You have changed your life entirely. You are no longer your own. You're a slave to the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the greatest freedom at the same time. You know, nothing is the same anymore. And he, you know, so wants to say, you know, Abraham received that information. Well, here we are with the information at our fingertips to be able to tell somebody about the Christ, about the Messiah, so their shape, their life can be entirely changed for the better. Acts chapter, again, we can talk about Abraham all day. We won't. A few more verses. Acts 3, verse 13. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Verse 25. Yea, ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham. See, that promise goes, that promise that now is being fulfilled in the Christ goes back to the days of Abraham, when God had promised to him, in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. That's what God had told to Abraham, and that was coming into fruition with the work of Jesus Christ. Look at Romans chapter 4, please. Romans chapter 4. A great lesson in Romans chapter 4, verse 11. And he received the sign of circumcision. We read a little bit about that. A seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all of them that believe. Very, very important thing to understand, right? That he was called righteous by what he believed before he was circumcised. Because, you know, the circumcision became such a strong part of the Jewish law, and sometimes even greater than the scriptures themselves. But here he did it before he was circumcised, but he could be the father of not just of Israel, but of all those who believe, including us. So the believing example of Abraham was that he believed God. Yeah, God had him circumcised. That was just a token, a covenant of what had just of the believing that he already had. He already believed God. That was just a sign that he believed God, and, you know, and the Israelites made a big deal out of that. And that kind of transcends the Bible, that thing. But here we see here. Wait a minute, you know, that was a token. He already believed God. That's very, very significant. That he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith. See, they believe of our father Abraham, which he had, being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, because it didn't exist then. The law came later with Moses, but through the righteousness of faith. It's what he believed. That promise was by believing. The law was there to protect those promises, but the promise had been made to Abraham well before. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made of void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. You know, not just if you're an Israelite, Abraham is our father. Also, why? Because he believed God, and because you believe God. That's why he's your father. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which is spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in his faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was but 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in believing, in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded, here's a great lesson, that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. When you hear information from God, you should understand that he is able to carry it out. It's not a false promise. God is able to carry out the information that he gives to you. It is not something that is vague or, you know, unclear. Here, Abraham trusted him completely. We saw a little bit of that. He trusted him completely. He knew that he had given the information, and he gave it to him many years before he actually had Isaac. But he knew that he was able to perform it. And that is a wonderful, wonderful lesson. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our own offenses and was raised again for our justification. And we'll close in Hebrews chapter 11. You can go to Galatians. We're going to read Galatians. But you can, in Galatians, it talks much about Abraham. You know, a great lesson in that Abraham probably, let's go to Hebrews 11, please, that he probably had no idea the full extent of the blessings that what he believed would bring. You know, you just don't know. You know, we're looking at these records in an attempt to understand how to hear from God better and to lessen on listening to God. You don't know always or recognize that the information that you get, you may not understand the impact of that information on your own life and the lives of others. You just might not. I don't think Abraham could have appreciated just how great what he was doing and what it would lead to. God gave him information. How about you? When you receive information, well, I'm not sure about that. Well, just do what you're told. Just follow through with the information. Just do what you're told. You know, when God's word says speak in tongues much, just do it. When he says it's better to, you know, give than to receive, well, just do that. When it says that we ought to keep our eyes in the hope of the return of Christ, just do that and tell others to do it. Whatever he tells you, just do it. You may not have any idea or understanding the implications of what you've just believed and what you've just done. That's not your job, which is great, because if you had to figure all those things out, that'd be a lot. That'd be way too much. But it's pretty easy if you just do what you're told and then let God figure out the results and the implications of all that. And we'll close in Hebrews 11, which is that wonderful section about all the great believers, but Abraham, right there, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, where are we? By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. We saw that, no idea, but he went anyway. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah received herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead. Good as dead. He was old, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them far off, were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was offered, tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten Son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure, received him back as good as being dead. And that was a type of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, in conclusion, Abraham is a significant figure in the scriptures for many reasons. Markedly for us in these considerations and his ability to listen to God. Whether the information he received was startling, difficult to carry out, led to personal hardship, took time to be affected, Abraham believed it without question, argument, or doubt. He did not allow the passage of time to introduce uncertainty in the information that he had received, but continued to glorify God and endure patiently. He allowed what God had told him to reshape his life's purpose and provide firm conviction in what lay ahead. The information that Abraham received not only blessed his immediate life and walk with God, but paved the way for countless blessings to follow.